Welcome to Chamber Chat. This is Jack Llewellyn, and as I always like to say, go to DurangoBusiness.org for all your upcoming chamber information. And I'm here with Amanita Beckstein. Did I say that right?
Amanita Beckstein, yeah.
Beckstein. Great. Just like, I'm so worried about mispronouncing your name, and then I went ahead and did it anyway. So sorry about that. Well, thank you so much for joining me.
Absolutely, Jack. Thanks a lot for inviting me here. It's really nice to get this opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, you did a great presentation on mindfulness at one of our coffee connections. That's why I wanted to get you into the radio show, because I think some of the things you talked about would be very beneficial to the listener. So what is mindfulness?
Yeah, great question. Mindfulness is pretty much just being present, being here now, being in the moment, and not having judgment about what's happening, right? Maybe you have something happening or some thoughts or some feelings, but just not judging it, just kind of being there, present, non-judgmentally, and in that moment, not really worrying about the future or the past.
Well, you know, it sounds so simple, but you know, I'm already thinking about the four other meetings I have later on today, immediately following the interview. So that would reflect on, I'm not being very mindful right now.
That's true. Absolutely. Already. And that's what our minds do. We often jump into what we're going to do, or we're stressing about things that might happen later, or we're worried about things that happened in the past, and that can really affect our mental well-being also, if we're too much stuck in the past or too much stuck in the future. Of course, I was a bit too mindful this morning, and I was really, really focusing in on my work, and I wasn't mindful and thinking about the meeting I had with you, and so then I was running a little late to show up here.
Well, you know, it happens to the best of us, and luckily, you know, we pre-record this, so it's all good. But you've written a book on mindfulness, and you talk a lot about the importance of teaching children mindfulness, which to me is brilliant, because if we can learn this at an early age, it's probably going to help keep our blood pressure down and all the other health benefits as we get older.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for bringing up my book. It's called Teaching Mindfulness, a guidebook for teachers, counselors, parents, and caregivers. So that's one of the big points that I have in that book, is exactly what you just said there, is this can help society. It can really transform a lot of the ailments that we have in society, including mental health and addictions and crimes. And I really think a lot of those things would be reduced if we teach kids mindfulness. And naturally, the earlier we get it in, the better. The better they're able to regulate their emotions and do these things, it's really going to help them long-term in their lives. And then again, I think it could improve society.
Yeah. Well, I would think, too, with mindfulness, it kind of makes us pause for a moment before we react, if I remember right. And with kids, you know, just having them check in, you know, with their emotions at the time when they get upset because they can't have a toy or something or whatever it might be, and just getting them to slow down. So how do you teach a kid that? I mean, you just say, knock it off? No, I wouldn't think so. Well, what do you do?
Yeah. Well, that's the exact goal that you want to use mindfulness like that, is you want to be able to have, like you said, a little pause between the thought or the feeling and then the reaction. Mm-hmm. So if you can do that, then that can actually prevent a lot of things like violence and getting upset and these kinds of things. And so how do you teach it? Well, with kids, it's best to teach it with activities and fun different things. So, you know, our book, it basically has 40 different fun activities that are engaging for young kids, you know, things like using a flashlight to get them to focus their attention on certain things, playing games, using stuffed animals while they lay down and putting it on their stomach so that they can breathe and have that stuffed animal kind of rise and fall as their friend, right? And so those are different techniques to help them kind of learn mindfulness in a fun and interactive way.
Yeah, and so your book probably goes through a series of different ways of teaching that. So, you know, it's a great idea just to, you know, like hugging the animal and being able to, you know, let's practice breathing. And I think breathing, to me, is one thing we could all do better at, because I find myself, I get busy and I shallow breathe. I'm like not filling my lungs. And so to actually plant my feet firmly on the ground and breathe in for the 4 seconds, you know, hold it, and then exhale. And it just helps you to calm down. And teach a kid that, and parents too, when they're upset, taking a moment to pause, that's a good thing.
I couldn't agree more, absolutely. And kids can feed off of our energy too. So if we are saying, oh, I'm calm, I'm fine, but our body language isn't showing that, the kids definitely know that. So we use this thing called little green dots. Those out in the audience can't see this, but I'm showing Jack here my cell phone that has a little green sticker on it. And basically what we do use those for is to exactly do what you just mentioned, to kind of just remind us to be mindful for 30 seconds. So when I see that little green dot, sometimes I put one on the steering wheel of my car or a water bottle. It just gives you that little moment to say, hey, let me take a breath. Let me remember where I'm at. Again, I have one on my cell phone. Sometimes I might put one on my keys until they fall off. So just a little reminder to say, hey, take a breath, be present, be here now.
And what does that then do for our physiological well-being when we're mindful?
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, good. It reduces the stress. It reduces cortisol levels, different things in the physiological body, which then helps us sleep better, rest well, and then in the long run, will give us better naturally mental health, but also physical health benefits.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's so funny when you're saying this, like, breathe slower, Jack. Don't jump ahead to the next question. So now I can ask the next question. That is, what are the different vowels of mindfulness? Like, I'm assuming that's A-E-I-O-U, which you talked about at the coffee connection. So let's run through those again.
Sure, yeah. So the vowels of mindfulness, it's this neat way that we came up with to kind of remind people. It's a mnemonic, A-E-I-O-U. And then we also add the Y, because we really can't do mindfulness without you in there.
Mm-hmm.
So A, that stands for attention. And attention is paying attention, kind of just being here now, trying to push out any distractions. If you do get some distractions, you might kind of let them float away in the air and as like a cloud or a bubble or something like that, and then kind of come back to the attention of being here now.
Uh-huh.
And then E, that stands for experience. Really, really immersing yourself in the experience that you're having in the moment. Being engaged, engrossed in that moment. And then I is for investigate. We want to help you kind of investigate and help you explore some of the physical sensations, the things that are happening in your body. So kind of be curious, because your body can tell you about your mental state and your physiological state, right? And try to, again, investigate what's happening in the body and what they're trying to tell you. Learn to be curious about what's happening for you, again, without that judgment. And then O stands for observe, and it aims to help you notice and respond to your thoughts, your feelings, and your emotions, just kind of observing them, once again, without a judgment, but with curiosity about what is happening in your mind while suspending that judgment. So that's, again, some of these vowels of mindfulness that we came up with, this cool mnemonic to help. And then U is about the understanding, trying to put it all kind of together. It helps you to practice being kind to yourself, be understanding to yourself, being understanding to others, having some self-compassion and compassion for others. And that, again, is very much in line with this mindfulness aspect of, if I'm not judging everything that I do, if I'm not judging everything others do, it'll be easier on my mental health, and I'll have more kind of compassion and gratitude in life.
Now, and then is there a why also?
Why is just, absolutely, is just you, right? We can't do any of the A-E-I-O-U without you being involved.
Okay.
So yeah.
So on all of this, I mean, again, attention, experience, investigate, observe, and understanding. I even wrote them down. I was taking notes while you're talking about that, because I think that is so important with the hustle bustle of life. Now, do you see, being a psychologist and, you know, and working in the psychology department at Fort Lewis, do you find people during the holidays relax or get stressed? Yeah. I get stressed.
Absolutely. Well, it can be both, right? Certainly the hustle and the bustle and the travel and the traffic and everybody trying to get things accomplished and a lot of people are traveling places. There's more people in the stores and certainly it can be a stressful time. And in fact, many people experience mental health difficulties during the holidays, right? Because there's a lot of expectations and those kinds of things. But hopefully it can also be a time that you can learn to relax and say, okay, things are in place or let's, if they're not in place, let's not judge that. Let's just say, let's let things flow a little bit and let things happen the way they should happen or naturally happen, even if it isn't as perfect as we may want them to happen. And sometimes those are the good memories too, when things don't go exactly as plans. So hopefully we can all be a little more mindful with the holidays coming up and be a better time and come out of them relaxed and refreshed and more mindfully able to go back to work afterward.
You know, I always say, you know, creating lists for myself, having lists, and then also you know, reminding myself that, let's say a flight gets delayed or something, you miss a connection and just going, it always makes for a good story later. And just keeping that in mind and know that there's always another flight. There might be a traffic delay, but taking our time, everything's going to be okay. But I do go back to the list and sitting there going, it makes me feel good to be able to check the list, you know, oh, got that done. And then also just being able to, you know, remind myself that it's okay to sit down and watch a Bronco game or whatever, or, you know, and reward yourself. And I don't think we do that very often. We just think, I got to be going. It's okay to slow down and just chill.
I can agree, right? We are called human beings, not human doings. So we can just be sometimes.
Right. Absolutely. So where can people get your book if they're interested?
Sure. Great question. So it's available in multiple places online, including Barnes and Nobles and Amazon. If you're local, you could check it out at the Fort Lewis Library, or you could check it out at the Durango Library. Both of them have it there. And then Maria's bookstore in town also carries it. So if you're wanting to actually go to the physical store and check it out and like that, you could do that. Or again, just kind of Googling it on online, you can have it. And then there's a big chunk of it kind of free on about 40% of it free on Google Books. So if people want to kind of check it out and even borrow some of the activities before they buy it, they're very welcome to do that.
And the name of the book, so when people are looking it up again.
That is Teaching Mindfulness, a guidebook for teachers, counselors, parents, and caregivers.
Okay, and I love that it's also not just for parents, but for caregivers. And I will say that, you know, when I had my mom when she was alive and she was at Sunshine Gardens for 10 years, it was probably one of the most stressful things and rewarding things at the same time that I've ever done. And I think that's important, you know, as parents, as teachers, as caregivers, just as a supervisor, all of these things that we can learn, you know, by reading the book for kids even, will apply for adults.
Oh, absolutely. I really mentioned that, right? The book's focused on kids, but then the hope is that the grown-ups, the teachers and parents, et cetera, also benefit from it, right? Because once again, kids can kind of read our emotions, and then so if we're teaching these to them and we're practicing it ourselves, it's going to also have a nice calming effect for us.
Now, real quick, we only have about a minute left, so I want to make sure if somebody has questions, can they email you, and if so, where?
Oh, absolutely. Welcome for them to email me. That would be Amanita, AmonEeta, Amanita@fortlewis.edu.
Amanita@fortlewis.edu. And so will you come back? Because I want to interview you. I got so many more questions for you.
It'd be a pleasure and an honor. I'd definitely thank you for inviting me this time, and I'd love to come back again. Absolutely. And happy to collaborate with anyone out there also. If anybody wants to learn more on these things, I'm happy to offer free workshops on mindfulness and such.
Well, I think it's great, and I'd highly encourage people to reach out to you because it was so beneficial during the coffee connection. So thanks again for joining me. We got to send it back to the studios.
You've been listening to Chamber Chat. Have a great day.